I know I'm supposed to do the intro here, but I just saw Kurt join the chat room. Mod Wackorb. I haven't seen Kurt in forever. Welcome to in-game. I haven't talked to him forever. Welcome to in-game chat for Saturday, May 9th, 2020. It is season 14. Hey, Kurt. Episode 13. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Oh, Kurt. Goodness, buddy. I haven't seen you in forever. I love these. And Duke Frukum's there too. I love these reunions. These are fun. I need to get more of the COG people back in here, really. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. He's in Discord all the time. I get it. I know. But on the show, he is not here. Duke said he's online all the time. No. He's not here with us in the show. You remember Steve is Duke's name. I don't know why I have to use people's real names when they have different names on the thing. I don't know what that is. But then again, I'm known as Jay, and I use something different on here, so it doesn't matter. Point being is that I know that they're online all the time, but the room used to be full of people from EVAV and Colony of Gamers and stuff like that. And I mean, you know, people got work, people got lives. So
kids.
People got kids too. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention that, but they do. You can check out in-game chat for all the in-gamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at in-game chat. You can find us on Facebook at in-game chat. You notice the theme. You can email us everyone at in-gamechat.net. We're streaming right now. Check us out on Twitch. If you want to watch the show, search for in-game chat. Who knew? I just signed us up for a, review. Another company that hands out review keys and stuff. And they're like, what is your handle want to be? And I was like, in-game chat.
That'll work.
Keep it consistent. So, yeah. We got the chat room going on live. Like I've already alluded to that because, you know, Kurt's hanging out there. Steve's hanging out there. Who is? Let's do a chat room roll call. I haven't done that in a while. And some of the names haven't shown up here, I don't think yet. Or maybe they have. AC Wraith, Bama Brian 17, Duke Frukum, Fubel Plays It, Mott Wackorb, and Steven Van Dam so far in the chat room. Probably get some more in there as time goes on. God, great to see you guys. So great to see you guys and back again for the show. Thank you so much for coming. Oh, I gotta do this. I have to do the
clap, clap.
Yeah, I gotta do that. Episode 601. 601st episode. Mm-hmm. Scrolling through my pictures on my phone there, and I came across our cake for the 300th? 500th? Whichever, 500th episode? Was it 500?
I don't recall a cake.
Well, there was a cake.
There was.
I think it was for our 300th.
Okay.
Because I think Dennis brought it in.
Oh, okay.
When we did 300 episodes, Dennis came in and did that. Mm-hmm. I believe. I think that's why I had to go so far back on it. But yeah, we had cake. We totally had cake. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Let's talk about video games, why don't we? RJ, what have you been playing?
Well, I played a little bit of Street Fighter V, very, very little of Destiny 2. I mean, trying to get that whatever that contest is, trying to get through that stuff, because everyone's trying that. A little bit of a little bit of this and that, but for the most part, I've been playing Streets of Rage 4. I'm trying to unlock all the characters and get some, I've been actually doing some little bit of trophy hunting in that game, actually, where you have to beat the game repeatedly with each of the main characters, and then a character from the classics, one from Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3. And I've been trying to hunt some trophies ever since. One that's been bugging me right now is Perfect. It's basically get through an entire stage without taking damage, which is a handful, because in Streets of Rage, you know, side-scrolling me against the world type fighters, you're going to get hit eventually.
I'm not so that I'm kind of, I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
Well, it's not stress, it's fun, but it's just like...
No, sir, that is stress. That is stress once you get to a certain area and you have not taken damage yet.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't. There's no stress at the beginning. You get hit, start over.
Well,
you get through whatever part, okay, start over. You get through where you only have so little left to go to get it.
Yeah, just one stage.
Then it's stressful.
I'm just trying to figure out which is the best stage to try, because I've unlocked all the stages, but...
None? None of them?
Well, there's three parts in stage one. Two parts in a boss battle. But the boss is pretty simple. I've got a pattern down to take her out, but some stages are definitely shorter than others. Thing is just trying to maneuver the get a strategy going where I can go through without taking damage, just finding which one will be better.
We all got to set goals. You know, we all got to have goals in our life. We got to set things and try to achieve them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to pick realistic goals. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You reach for the stars, and good on you for doing it.
Appreciate it. You never had that inkling before to try to hit a trophy or anything like that in the games?
Well, yeah, no. I have, but I've never started out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never looked at an achievement list or a trophy list, and I said, I'm going to get that one. Mm-hmm. Never done. I don't know of somebody other than maybe Duke. I think maybe Steve in the chat room, I think he probably does. Dude, check that. That guy is, back when we were on 360 and stuff like that, he was achievement hunting. But on Steam, wow, man. Mm-hmm. He used to, and I don't know that he does it so much because guess what? Got a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know that he does it so much anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would always be on Steam going for those things. He would be the only one I would think of. No, I have only run into those situations when I realize that I'm actually close to completing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already played through a ton of the game or whatever, and I'll just be sitting there looking over the game, and then I'll look at the trophy list or achievement list, and if it's got a progress bar, which, by the way, all of your stuff, if it's a certain amount, like you got to do this 500 times or something like that, put in a progress bar so we know how far we are to making that, to getting there. They used to not, but I think they all do now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd look at that and I'd be like, oh, wow, I'm over half. Let's perfect example, Destiny.
Yeah.
Just to go into that. You go to the Triumphs page and it's like, have you killed this many 500 of these things with your certain grenade type? Oh, I've killed 470 of those. I just need a couple, you know. I could do that real quick. I could go make that happen. You know, 30 more kills and I'm good. So that's the only time stuff like that comes in. Never, though, that I know of, that I've looked at something that says, do this without taking, and there they exist, do this without taking damage.
Yeah.
Do a flawless run. And I'm trying to think of the ones that I'm thinking of or the ones that are in my head right now where they're flawless runs. I want to say it's in those games that first showed up for PS4. Rezogun?
No damage in Rezogun, or
is it Rezogun that I'm thinking of? It's the one where you fly a little ship and there's a lot of pixels and you blow stuff up, and it showed off the.
Where you have to save people from these aliens trying to take.
Yeah, Steve's telling me it's Rezogun. Yeah, it's Rezogun. Yeah. Like you move in like a circular motion type thing.
Yeah,
and that's it. And so I want to say there's probably something like that. Geometry Wars is another one. Never take damage or some stuff. Mm-hmm. Shmups basically.
Yeah,
is where they show up a lot of times. Are your shooters?
Ikaruga comes to mind.
Right. Yeah. That's another.
Yeah, hitting those combos and things like that. But yeah, it wasn't exactly planned when I did this. I mean, it was just Streets of Rage 4 is just one of those games I picked up and started playing. And the combination of nostalgia and remake is
it's fine. Yeah,
it's like I'm going to be playing this a lot. And I just looked at the trophy list, and I was getting a bunch of trophies as I was playing through. So it just said it had a bunch of trophies for beat it with this character, beat it with all these characters and like that. And then I noticed the one that says I think it was a gold trophy, go through a stage without taking a hit, and it is, I think it's possible to do so. You just when you know what's coming, actually, and you just have to be on your toes and hit your techniques perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because you can do a lot of combinations and things and keep enemies off you. You just have to be, well, pretty much perfect with your.
That's one of the execution. Things that, as going on to the trophy list type thing, the trophies, the achievements, that sort of thing. It's one of the things that I enjoyed. Yeah, I say I enjoyed. I don't know, blessing or a curse type of situation where Sony and now Steam both can list those achievements you haven't done that says only this percentage of the community has achieved
ultra
this,
rare
yeah.
common thing.
And so then it, so yes, then you yeah. look at like that and you're like, I want to be part of the elite.
Yeah, but then some look at it, I'm kind of skeptical. Ultra rare, really? That was pretty easy to do. How's that rare?
I don't necessarily know if it's, I don't know if those titles are defined by how many people have completed them or if they're a set definition that the developers put mm-hmm. in themselves.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Or it could be who's even trying to attempt it.
Usually. Because I would think it would move, like it would adjust. Like, obviously everything can't start out ultra rare, right? No. Otherwise it would, because nobody's gotten it when the game launches.
Yeah, the Eid stuff hits common pretty quick, actually. Yeah.
But I'm curious if those adjust as more people get them.
Yeah.
Do they then become less rare? I understand that if you win the different forms of trophies that PlayStation has, the bronze, the silver, the gold, mm-hmm. the platinum.
Platinum, yeah.
And platinum is always one thing, but the bronze, the silver, and gold are usually based upon their, I would say their rarity, but I don't think it is. I think they're based on something else. So
probably based on ease, because sometimes bronze pops up and you're not even thinking about it.
We have interviewed developers all over the place, and I have never asked them that question, and I should. Mm-hmm. I should reach out to some of them and say, hey, how do you, like, I know maybe you guys pick the trophies, but do you guys pick what's ultra rare and what the different ways they're assigned on, like, PlayStation and stuff? I should mm-hmm. ask. I'm very, very curious about that now, and I've never posed the question to anybody that we've ever had on the show before. Hmm. I should do that. What else have you played? Streets of Rage 4.
Streets of Rage 4. A little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5 as well. They got a bonus on biker missions right now. So if you got a motorcycle club, you can get, I think it's double rewards for sales through your biker club. So I've been doing a little bit of that. Other than that, that's been pretty much it.
I have not touched GTA Online at all. And I hate that, too, because I keep seeing ads for it, and I keep seeing new stuff they're bringing to it. And I'm like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
I should get in there. That looks fun. Or you'll see videos posted online of like, oh, here's an amazing thing that happened while I was playing GTA Online. Mm-hmm. Oh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks fun.
Yeah, still play, but it is still a grind, man. It is a really big grind to get money in the game.
Yeah. So, as far as what I played... Yeah, Destiny. I played Destiny. In fact, today I finally achieved the... they have the Guardian games going on right now?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, you know.
A bunch of Crucible and PvP stuff that I'm like... Ugh.
Well, Mayhem's this week, so that's easy to do.
At least it's over quick.
Yeah, well, it's over quick, but, you know, everybody's firing off supers and they're dropping
them. Yeah, I'm about to say, that's the one where supers go off every 5 seconds,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so it is over quick, yes. But because they're launching those supers, that means those little motes of the different classes are being dropped all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you can just go pick them up.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't even have to pick them up. They automatically get, you automatically collect them. So Mayhem's pretty good for the final week of the Guardian games. There's triumphs for the Guardian games. They award no points whatsoever. It's just a, oh, look, I did this. However, there's an exotic weapon, another machine gun,
mm-hmm.
Submachine gun that I've...
Sub or... A
no, not submachine. I'm sorry.
About to say, I'm not going through all this for a submachine gun.
It's a machine gun. It's a machine gun. It's a heavy, exotic machine gun.
There you go.
And right. It is, I don't even remember what the name of it is. So, the only way to get that was to achieve 7 of the triumphs in Guardian games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had put in enough time last week to where I had one triumph left, and that was to turn in 30 gold medals. Gold. You get bronze, silver, and gold. And you only do these by just doing activities, you know.
Yeah.
Just doing the activities over and over and over and over again. And so by the time this final week rolled around, I just needed 5 more gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
And I took care of that today by doing like 2 things. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I had some bounties stored up to get one of the bounty golds, and I did that. And then I went to the blind well, and I got my destination gold, you know, just collecting them out in the destination world. And I went to the blind well to take care of that. I took care of it, got it, got my gun. I don't have to fool with the Guardian games anymore. And I won't.
Congrats, man.
Right? Like, yeah. I won't. I won't fool with it anymore. Not that it's not fun. It's not bad.
I want to say tedious.
Tedious comes to mind if you're going for something, you know, if you're trying to achieve something.
Yeah.
It feels tedious.
I mean, overall, what do you really get out of it? I mean, all the time you've put in there, what does the Guardian Games really give you? Really?
Absolutely. Other than the exotic machine gun, nothing. And the exotic machine gun will just be thrown into the loot pool after the thing's over with, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like you could only get it then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I went ahead and did it anyway because of my compulsiveness or whatever it is. Maybe, I said earlier I'm not, you know, masochistic like you, but maybe I actually am. Maybe putting myself through that actually makes me one.
Mm.
So I'm not sure. But I got it, and now I don't have to worry with it. Now I can load up Streets of Rage 4 on Xbox Game Pass and play that. Now I can get back to Doom from 2016 that I was playing. Now I can jump into City Skylines if I want to. Now I downloaded
that, by the way.
Huh?
I did download that, by the way.
City Skylines? Yeah. Ooh, I got to do that. Let me go. You know what? That reminds me. Let me just log into my PlayStation account here while we're on the air.
Yeah.
And I'll go get those free games.
Stellar Radio, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm not going to just sit here and give you commentary of me logging in. I just clicked the link. But it does. I haven't played. The ad for Warzone just popped up for Call of Duty. I haven't done that yet.
I tried that.
Yeah, the free to play thing.
Yeah, I tried it.
I know.
I tried it for like all of 30 seconds and didn't. Nope.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I know. Yeah.
But I gave it a shot.
And it may not be for me either, but it's there and I haven't messed with it at all, so I should probably, you know, give it some love.
If you got the space for it.
What else was I really wanting to get back? Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn. I really want to get back into that.
I have to start it.
I was doing some cleaning, and I found my statue from when I bought that thing.
Of Aloy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful-looking statue, completely wrapped up. I hadn't done anything with it. Hmm. Why is this thing not moving? There we go. Hadn't done anything with it. It's like, you know, should play this.
Yeah.
Should. I really, really should. I really should stop playing so much Destiny.
I mean, look, we've all got that backlog, man. It's just...
It's not just the backlog. It's just that Destiny takes up most of my time. Right now, this season that they released for Destiny did not take up that much of my time. This may be the first season that I don't actually hit the 100 level on it.
Mm-hmm.
Max out the level of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It may be the first time I do that. I'm currently in the mid-60s, I think. Or did I cross into 70s?
I think I'm in the... Look, I don't play it too much, but even I'm in the 50s, so...
Yeah, well, I haven't been playing it too much this season either. I got what I needed to get done, and I didn't have to worry about it. They kind of...
I think it's at the point now for me where even with the season pass, I'm not getting much at this point. So, yeah.
No, it's there. It's, again, this falls under the category of maybe an OCD type thing where it's like, it's there, you should do it. You've done it all the time, why not do it now? You should do it. You should, you know, little voice, little pull at the brain noggin saying, go take care of you. Go do your job. But that's not my job, brain noggin. No, it is. Because if you don't, you're going to feel worthless. So go do it. You're going to feel like a failure. Yeah, so.
Really?
Stupid brain noggin.
Okay. And you get on me about playing difficult games. Okay.
Right? Exactly. No, trust me, I know. I have a condition. But actually, just to let you know, I don't actually feel like a failure if I don't make the if I don't get all of the stuff there. I really, really don't. Trust me. But what I do understand is that Destiny will always draw me back in.
Mm-hmm.
It will always pull me back in. They will have an event like Guardian Games that I originally, because I was so busy with the house and stuff, that I paid no attention to. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until all that was clear that I looked at it and I said, oh, crap, I missed a whole week of this. And there's a gun I can get. I really need to get on the ball and get this done. You know, there was that one time 2 seasons ago where I got behind. And over the Thanksgiving holidays, I grinded so much on that game.
You almost burnt yourself out during that
to
time.
Get, oh, my God, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And so, and then when the new season launched in December, I sort of spaced everything out, but I still got it done within a month.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't grind as hard, I still got it done within a month. Mm. Then this season released, and it was very lightweight. It was very, they had really
very
stepped.
Little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really stepped back, which for me, I was like, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. So I did what I needed to get done, and I didn't have to worry about it. But then here we go, a 3-week event, and I missed the first week, and then I'm, you know, trying to get as much as I can get done just to get that gun that comes with it. Anyway, like I said, Destiny will always pull me back in. So when I don't have to, when I am not being pulled in by it, I choose to play something else. I try to find and play something else. I want to play something else. I don't need to get into that. The what is the
I'm about to say a rut.
The loot hook, I guess you could call it, whatever it is. It's like, you know, I could be playing this game, but I could be advancing my character in Destiny. No, I need to let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to let go of that. I know that when this season ends, as it is shortly coming to a close, they will launch the next season, and that will pull me back in. So I have, you know, a good bit of time here to kind of, you know, let's branch out. Let's go do other things. Let's go play stuff. Let's stop with the Destiny stuff. But then you have friends who get into Destiny, and it's like, I'll help you. And so you want to go help them.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this with you. This is great. You're getting into the Destiny thing. Wonderful. Let's go play. So it starts all over again.
Oh, well, like you were mentioning the last time, another big thanks to the clan because... Dang, going back to see Soraya in the bazaar, like I think it was like 9 or 10 different legendary items I picked up.
Oh, you got a bunch. Our clan has been wonderful. I have not participated. I have not done anything for the clan for the most part. The first 2 levels, because there's a max of 6. I think 1 through 3, I was able to help and contribute and do my part for. But then I took like 2 or 3 weeks off there from playing and also like busy doing other things. And when I got back on to check on the Guardian game stuff and what was going on, I was like, oh, my God, we already maxed out, which we had. Yeah. We had already hit our max level. And so you guys are wonderful. Thanks for doing that in the clan, in-game chat clan, by the way, if you are curious. Hit me up. You can hit me up on Discord or find me in Destiny if you want to. If you know me, if you already know me, just, you know, tell me. Tell me you want in and I can get you in. I'll send you our Discord link and then we'll go from there. So, okay, I just put Farming Simulator 19 into my cart. And now I'm putting City Skylines, PlayStation 4 edition, into my cart as well. I'm going to buy something that would normally cost me apparently $80.
That sounds about right.
For nothing. So there we go. Now those games are mine. So, yeah. Anyway, Destiny talk done. We got news to cover because there was a big event for Xbox. There was a big little, I say a big little, but there was only like a, what, 45-minute show, maybe?
Yeah, hour, maybe, yeah. At best, an hour.
And I have a lot to talk about that, only for the fact that, just to sum it up, I'm going to put the gameplay aspect aside. There is things to say about what was shown as far as gameplay was concerned. But that was one of the most impressive showings of new original IP that that's the stuff I wish for E3 so many times. Mm-hmm. Instead of here's the third, or here's the spinoff of this, or here is another version of this. It's like, here's something brand new you have never seen before. You don't know anything about this. You have no idea what this is. This is brand new material. It is not based on, you know, on a previous IP that we have. This is just completely brand new. And I loved, obviously with the exception of Assassin's Creed, but even then, they put Vikings in Assassin's Creed. You got me. you got me. I'm going to be there. It's Vikings. It's Norse. Yep. You did the Greek thing, which was going to get me. The Egypt thing, not so much. I like Egypt. I do. But Origins was, it was a departure for the first time for Assassin's Creed from what they were doing. And so it took me a while to get acclimated. Odyssey was like, well, okay, you put me in Greece, we're going to go for this. Mm-hmm. You put me in the Viking thing, we're going to go for this. Mm-hmm. But the other ones previous to that were, they always had me hooked with Victorian London for Assassin's Creed Victorian London, whatever the name of that was. I can't remember. Why can't I remember that? That sucks that I can't remember that game.
It'll come to you after the show's over.
Oh, it'll come to me during the break because I will Google it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually waiting for the chat room to catch up with us because of the delay. Syndicate! Thank you, Steve. we got somebody who's calling us right now. Hang on the line, whoever you are. I'm going to guess it's Chris. I don't know. Hang on the line. And when we come back, we will go directly to your call right after this break. Music here from a game called Fury Unleashed. It is the main theme for that, and we will be right back with more in-game chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from another new game that I saw on Steam. The Fury Rage, whatever the thing was, that we played before we went into the commercial that I have completely already forgotten about. Was also a brand new game. This seemed to be as well. Hydroneer? Track is called Peaceful Meadow. I believe it to be new. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phones. We've got two lines already. Let's talk to Chris, who called in before we went to the break. Thanks for holding, buddy.
That's okay.
How are you? What's going on?
Working on a few projects. Been playing Trials of Mana on the Switch at home and at work during my lunch break. Yeah, I've got addicted to that. I've probably got a good 20 hours or more into it. But if you're looking to play something new or you know, a remake of an action role-playing game, that'd be a good one to get into. And if you've ever heard about the original one that they released as part of the collection of Mana, it is a whole lot easier than the original Super NES version. The original one was tough as nails. You know, you bite your fingers and about use all your items to revive all the characters and your healing items and just barely squeak through on boss battles. But I'm playing that right now, and I'm working on another project where I'm going to build me a little collapsible little desk table so I can pull out the old computer systems like the VIC-20 and the Tandy Color Computer 3 and have a little setup there where I can just sit up under a little table that comes apart and, you know, where I could move it out of the way and put it back up when I'm not playing those old systems like that I've got hooked up in my bedroom where one of my other TV sets is.
Mm-hmm. How long is that going to take you think?
I don't know. I'm about a good bit portion done with building it and all, but it's just a little small 2x4 foot little planking, and I'm just building it, and I was working on it this afternoon, and it was about 10 till for y'all to come on. I was, oh, this is a good time to take a break and stop working on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Not much. I've just been playing that pretty much the whole time and then listened to the music from Trials of Mana on the road, you know, on my cell phone, you know, pulling up a YouTube video link of people, you know, just letting the music play so I can listen to one of these different tracks that I like a lot of the time and just blasting it out and then listening to that on the way back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of my new titles that come out a lot, like within 12 hours or 12 hours or half a day or so, the whole soundtrack's on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well, thanks for calling, Chris. Good to hear from you.
All right. Y'all have a good afternoon.
You too. Take care.
Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Now we're going to jump over to Steve calling in. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, RJ?
How you doing now?
How's everything going?
Good. I've been playing some weird games. I've been chewing up my backlog. So I've been installing stuff that I've had for a while and kind of getting through most of them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you went after those achievements and those trophies and those things, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a sucker for them. It's not, I mean, I can't uninstall a game until I get, you know, past the percentage of what it says on my profile as my game completed. They just stay installed forever. Some of them are like you have to start a hardcore game and finish it. You know, like some of the Fallout achievements. I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that. But there they sit.
Yeah, I remember some of the Steam things that were going on, like some of the sales and other things like that, where you could advance your profile. They gamified the sales, and
I
remember.
For it.
Yeah, I remember you seeing you just go nuts, man.
Yeah.
What's your level on Steam right now?
Let's look. 103.
What?
Yeah. 102. Yeah. 102.
So it takes a lot to get up there. It takes a lot of achievements.
I mean, there are people I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. There's people way above that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a game within a game. Yeah. I'm probably contributing to the problem of why Valve just only finally released Half-Life Alyx.
What is it? You said you've been playing some weird games. What have you been playing?
So I saw a trailer a while ago called Chernobyl Light. And this is back before, I think, when they announced Stalker 2, because I'm a big that Stalker Shadows of Chernobyl, and mm-hmm. then there was Clear Sky.
Yep.
And
they're working on a third one, I thought.
Second one, yeah. I think there's some of the dev team that, you know, they got together and said, we're going to finish what we started. But this other developer released a trailer called Chernobyl Light, and then I started looking through their games on Steam, and there was a game called Get Even. And I looked through the videos and was like, okay, it's, you know, it's got a good atmospheric tone, and it fits with what I've been playing lately, which is it's got that Amnesia Alien Isolation feel, where you don't really have weapons. You have to kind of, there's a lot of strategy of hiding, and you're exploring this asylum, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But the interesting part about it was it had elements of a game called Condemned. Do you guys remember Condemned?
Oh, I remember Condemned.
Yeah.
You remember like the research portion of it where you had to like scan items and
the
try and
investigation
find clues.
Type part? Yeah.
Crime scenes, yeah. And everything like
so this,
that, yeah.
This game had that. And it had, it's actually, I wish it was that simple. I wish it was just you're in an asylum and you're doing this investigative stuff. But they tried to add all kinds of other elements to it that just got, by the end of the game, you're like, this is way more complicated than it needs to be for it to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually wrote a review on it in Steam. I put it down as a not recommend, but I finally 100%ed it so that I can uninstall it. But they also added elements like, so not to get too crazy into the story, but they have, you know, in Assassin's Creed, you have the Animus that you go into, and you're kind of walking around your memories trying to piece together stuff. That there's a whole portion of the game that's basically based around that, where you don't have any memory of what you're doing, just like Amnesia. You're exploring an asylum, just like Outlast, and then there's this guy, kind of this puppet master, pulling the strings and trying to get you to do stuff, but you have to enter what they call Pandora, which is this technology that unlocks your memories, you know, try to remember what your role was in this past thing. So you're going through the game, piecing all these things together, investigating the asylum, and then finally there's like this, you know, big twist. And the other cool thing that kind of attracted me to it was that the choices you make impact the ending, which I like. I like stuff like that.
I've never really, I have fallen for that, but I've never really been satisfied with things that do that. They never can seem to pull it off.
This would add this one to the list.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Well, it's just there's way too much stuff, way too many games mishmashed together, along with that overcomplicated story, and you're kind of left just a little bit exhausted after it all.
The only one that really did that for me was, my memory's shot, and it was a game called Stories.
Stories.
It's got a subtitle too, and I can't remember what it's called.
Is it Her Story?
No. It's not that one. It's
Stories of Path of Destinies.
Stories, Path of Destinies. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's one that had like 30-something endings. Or
that
something.
No. That very much changes the outcome of your game. It's on PC. I think it's on Switch, and I think it's on. It's definitely on PlayStation 4 because that's where I got it from. But Stories, Path of Destinies, it has like 30 or some odd different endings, but everything, it's very much a choose your own adventure thing. You'll go through a level at the end, you have two choices you can make. And you can go through one portal or another portal, whatever the case may be, or you make a decision on what you're going to do. And then once you finish that, once you go through and get that ending, it doesn't take long to do, but once you finish that, it says, would you like to make a change in your path? And it takes you back to the first level where you made a choice, and you know it's like, okay, what do you want to do this time? Do you want to go the same route, or do you want to go different? And you can choose to go different. You can choose to go the same, and then go different in the next level. And there's a whole board of options that shows you here's how you got here to this point. Very much like Detroit. I don't know if you played Detroit.
Yep.
Yeah. Very much like that, to show you like here's the different paths you didn't take.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of being over critical of this game with the choices thing. This is more of like a Mass Effect, you know, Paragon or like whatever the things that you do is like a good ending and a bad ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really too, the story is one that you have. It's like everything kind of branches off, right? And it kind of keeps going. This is pretty standard, but, so anyway, that was Get Even in a nutshell.
Okay. What else? Anything else?
Finally getting through Alien Isolation. I reinstalled that.
That was on sale just last weekend for like $3.
That's what made me reinstall it, was I saw it. I pop up, I'm like, I never finished it. And then I had built a new PC in between when I started it and when the one I have. So I never, I forgot about it basically when I installed the next version of Steam. But I think everyone's played that. That's pretty, that's a top notch. What would you call a game that doesn't give you too many weapons and is more, there's a lot of running and hiding?
Survival.
And,
survival, yeah.
It's just survival? Okay.
It seems to be. That sounds to me like a survival game. That's survival horror, basically. Yeah.
Well, I think of, when I hear survival horror, I think like Resident Evil, the original series, but...
Yeah, like that would probably... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is more of a survival suspense? I don't know. It feels survival because your goal is to survive.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's the goal in every game, I would say, is to not die. But...
you want to survive, but you can't fight often.
You don't have... Yeah, you don't really have a lot of options to fight.
I'm trying to think of... remember Clock Tower?
I mean, I remember it. I never played it, but I remember it.
I think it's something like that, or a Fatal Frame.
Again.
Yeah, Fatal Frame.
Yeah, so like, I think all you got is a camera in that thing. I think you like stun ghosts or something with the flash of something that camera does. There's something special about it or whatever, but it's not a lot of fighting in there. You got to be you got to strategize and to get out of that house or whatever.
Amnesia is like that, right?
Yeah, both Amnesia games are like that.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. That's what kind of hooked me into that style of game, that first Amnesia game.
Yeah, it's I think it was free on the Epic Game Store last week up until Thursday. Now there's a different game that's free up there on the Epic Game Store now. Yeah. But it was Amnesia. So Alien Isolation and any
that's just great. I mean, I just found the desolate the crashed ship. I'm only at that. So I'm not really even close to finishing it, but just marching my way through. I'll probably have to go back and play it again to get the rest of the achievements I missed.
Well, dude, it's good hearing from you again, as always, and I guess everybody safe up there?
Yeah, everybody safe. We're just bunkering down, waiting for hopefully better times.
Yeah. You're in Boston, right?
Yep.
I have no idea because I'm not following. Is there any sort of plan to like open up or let people kind of
18th is the date for non-essential businesses to reopen. We have a mask enforcement that's out, so if you can't social distance and you're going to be out in public, you need to wear masks. And essentially anybody that can work from home should work from home, so like everybody's not really going to run back. I can work from home, so I think my company's basically saying just stay home, for as long as possible, unless there's some critical.
I think for us here, they're opening up, and I know your wife's big into fitness stuff. I think the gyms open up. Gyms open up on Monday.
Yeah,
here
they're opening.
Gyms are going to be a big thing that people are going to push for, but I have a feeling there's not going to be anybody going to gyms, and I think people are finding that a lot of these group fitness classes are kind of filling that gap and like even potentially motivating people more.
The ones you can do at home, like from your phone and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, take care, buddy. It's good hearing from you as always, and thank you for calling
in.
Yeah,
love you guys.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care now.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I didn't answer the phone, so I have no idea. I have a guess, but I will just let them tell us. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
You're going to guess? Come on, man.
Hey, Kurt. That's my guess. Look, we don't get calls, man. Chris calls us every week. If the phone rings after I get off the phone with him, I don't know who it is.
Three calls today. Three. Right?
Three, right? We have hit
our
peak. We've peaked early. It's almost the second hour, and we've already hit three callers. Yeah, pretty much. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in forever.
Busy as hell. That's probably the best word for it. I've just been busy.
All right, now, so we've talked. Now we talked to Brock up in Canada, Spigot. We talked to Steve now, just in Boston. We talked to is it Joshua over in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
We talked to him in Germany, and now we're calling. Are you still open in Wisconsin? No,
I am in Wisconsin. Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin area.
Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin area. How's everything going for you and the fine folks of Madison, Wisconsin, for all of this stuff that's going on?
Quite lovely, actually. We're all locked down, but the parks are all open. So, for example, today, kids and I went, and the kids' wife and I, we all went to the to a county park and took a 4 mile hike. So, I mean, we're getting out, but, you know, everybody's locked down here. It's not great where my parents live, where I used to live up in Green Bay. Big meat plants there.
Oh, yeah.
And so spreading like wildfire there. So I told my mom, you won't see us for a while.
Yeah.
I'm going nowhere near that county.
Now, you, your job is easily done remotely, right? You can work
at
home?
Yeah, I work for, I work for a large insurance, property casualty insurance carrier, and they've told us they'd be shocked if we're back in, if people return to an office before June. They've gone as legit as literally locking the doors, like people can't get in the buildings at all.
Yeah. Wow. Any sign of any let up from that anytime soon?
They're starting to frame some of the rules that are coming from it, but I, you know, and the government's fighting quite a bit over it. But the date's May 26th, and it's funny. We, you know, I live in a neighborhood where there's a neighborhood pool, and I'm on the board for it. We're wondering if we're even going to be able to open this year because of the rules that are in play. If it's even worth even trying to. So it's a weird, weird world here right now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But everybody you know, and you're everybody good? Everybody safe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody's doing good. Everybody's staying out of trouble.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, what else has been happening, man? What's going on? I haven't talked to you. I don't know when the last time it was that I talked to you just casually online, much less on this show.
Trying to make my so-called man cave more man cavey.
Yeah, I saw you bought yourself some arcade machines.
Oh yeah, and I'm actually gonna. I think my next pet project is building a MAME machine. Actually,
yep,
like a pedestal style one, and like a 4-player pedestal style one. It's fun. My kids are 7 and 5, so they're getting into gaming. So my son has a Switch. He's already been doing that. My daughter, the other day, just decided to pick up my 3DS and start playing Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario 2 on there. So I've been, a lot of my games are starting to be the stuff that I've already probably played / beaten, but my kids are starting to get into. So my kid's excited after dinner, we're going to go downstairs and power up the Wii U and play some more Mario 3D World together.
Isn't that one of those you could play with like 4 players, right?
That is the one that you play 4 players.
Yeah.
A lot of Mario parties, so the kids are, you know, now it's a lot more social gaming now. So.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, think about it. We social gamed when we were together just because it was our friends and we were, hey, let's play, you know, oh God, Metroid Prime Pinball, so much Metroid Prime Pinball. Mm-hmm. From just with the DSs that we had linked up. But, yeah, but think about it. Now you have, like, you have built-in multiplayer, like, in your family.
I have couch co-op players.
Yeah. You know?
And like, you know, it's funny. The trick is getting, like, my daughter to not be discouraged when she dies, because she takes it pretty hard, actually. Teaching her that, you know, it's okay. Your repetition gets you lets you figure out how you play this game, and we didn't all start as awesome at games as you think we do.
No. And some of us never really evolved either.
And in your single years, you got to face some adversity playing the games, especially back in our day, man.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh,
how brutal those games, NES especially, those those Mega Mans on NES.
You want to finish this game? Well, you better plop down and sit here, or pause it and turn your monitor off and hope like hell there's no power flicker.
Yeah.
In between the time you come back to it,
you're not saving on that.
Hey, in fact, Mario 3D World has started some fights in our family, and so has New Super Mario Brothers. Because man. You accidentally leap off of someone. Oh, it's not a good moment. Mm-hmm.
Time to play some Mario Kart.
Yep.
I mean, if we want to talk about some, I mean, there's Smash Brothers.
Yeah, we've said before that there are games that will test the test the bonds of strength between your family.
Bomberman on the 360 arcade.
Puzzle Fighter.
Puzzle Fighter's a good
Puzzle
one.
Puzzle Fighter. Uno.
Well, Uno, just Uno. Yeah, just go for Uno.
Uno on PlayStation Network, man. Oh, you get hate messages off that,
man.
You really do.
Oh, I still remember the days of Uno being huge on Xbox. Remember
on the 360? Yeah, yeah, and it's like, oh, I got a camera. Yeah. Like, look, it's me.
I got a camera in here, and here I'm going to show you things that you really should not be showing me.
Yeah, what was it? Was it Drew that did that? Track Zero, I think.
All the time.
I think he did something really bad that he was not aware of that he did until much later. I say much later, not until way after the fact that it was like until it was too late.
Yeah,
far too late.
Yeah,
far too late. it already been let out of the bag, as it were.
Yep.
So, Kurt, we got to take a break. Can you hang on?
I can hang on, sir.
Okay, good. Hang on through this commercial break. Oh, 1 versus 100, somebody just mentioned. Ah, bring that back.
Oh, that was classic.
God, that was great.
I never got to play that.
Yeah. Hang on the line, Kurt. We'll come right back to you.
Sounds good, Scott.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, more with Kurt, who I haven't talked to forever. I'm sorry, you're going to get a hey buddy, how's it going, and a bunch of catching up live on the air to do, because I just haven't talked to the man in forever. If more people keep doing this, that's all the show's going to turn into. It's going to be reunion hour. But yeah, so here is a game I was trying to find. I had one more song I needed. I picked 7 tracks for the bumper music that we use, and I had already picked out 6, and I'm like, I need a 7th. I've already gone through the new games that released this week, which weren't very many. And I need a 7th. I got to find something. And so I was looking through, and I said, you know, and this was through Steam. And so I said, you know what? Let me see what Epic Game Store has. Because I always go through my library on Steam to see what I can play there. And so I said, let me look at Epic Game Store. So I went there, and I looked through all their free games. And then I found this, and I went to listen to the music. And as soon as I heard the music, I said, that's it. Using that, and I love the entire soundtrack, to be honest with you. It's for a game that, before it was ever a video game, it was a board game. It was a physical board game, and the music fits the imagery, fits everything about it. It is the main theme for Ticket to Ride. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Check out this tack piano. I love it. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Cook Serve Delicious 3. The track is called Rush Hour. I don't know anything about Cook Serve Delicious. I have Cook Serve Delicious. I don't have the sequel or the third one. It makes me wonder if it's anything like... what's that little cooking game on the 3DS?
Cooking Mama?
Cooking Mama, or the 2D, whatever it was, the DS.
Yeah, don't worry, Mama will fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you mess up. When you
cooking
mess up
Mama,
dish,
that's yeah. Right, yeah.
This doesn't sound like it belongs in a cooking simulator, though.
I don't know that Cook Serve Delicious is a cooking simulator.
Okay, let's see.
You would need to look that up.
We got internet, so yeah.
It does, I believe you run a food truck. So I don't know. See if we'll see if Kurt's played it. You ever played Cook Serve Delicious?
Oh, absolutely.
What? How? You're, what are you doing?
You are a food truck in the first game. I've only played the first one, admittedly. I haven't gotten the second one. But you are a food truck, and it's kind of a keyboard simulator, actually. So if you're really good at typing, it helps. Because that's how you kind of, when you're playing it on PC, that's how you kind of build your food for the customers. You use a keyboard, which is a good time. So it's actually pretty fun.
There was a game I played at PAX this past year. I think it was this past year. It was at the Indie Mega Booth. I had an appointment for it. And, man, I cannot remember the name of it. Memory for me is just, I'm losing all aspects of memory.
Well, it says the game is a restaurant simulation game. Yeah. But you said it helped. If you know how to type, it's even better, Kurt?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the fact that you're each food item and... if you're making a hamburger, the cheese, the bun, the burger is a key. And so you have to kind of smack them in the right order to build the food and hit other keys to send your food out. And it's a unique game. It's stressful. It is a stressful game.
I would think something stressful would be like you have to type the name of the ingredient to get it on there or something. But you say just hit a key, like one key?
It's a key.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're spread out. They're not in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I'm gonna post a link to this game in our chat room here.
Yeah,
it's called Neon Noodles, and basically you talked about hearing that commercial for computer whatever. Basically, you have a team of robots, and you have a recipe, and you have to program those robots to make this recipe, or to put together this recipe to make what they're making. And it's set in like a Neo Tokyo kitchen type thing. It's a beautiful setting, but brain melting thought process. It starts simple, yes. Then it gets much more convoluted because you have to program them. You have to tell them, go to this station, then turn left, turn right. Take 2-3 steps to this station, turn left, put the food on, take the food off, do this, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing. And
that
so.
That sounds a heck of a lot like an old mini game that was in. There's an old Sierra game called Dr. Brain, and there was like the Island Dr. Brain, the Castle Dr. Brain. And there was one of those where you had to program damn near the same thing where they had to move through. You had to move through a maze, and you had to program that the robot going through a maze. It sounds a lot like that.
Hmm. Maybe. The video I posted is, I don't know, it's somebody playing it, but I think it's on Steam already. But yeah, it's something like that. And again, it starts off simple. You may only have like 3 stations. Like this one, I think is, the recipe is to slice an avocado. So you program the robot to pick up the avocado from the station, turn left, and that's where you're going to put the cutting station.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick it up, turn left again or right again, whichever way. Turn another 90 degrees, and serve. Then you need to tell it to turn 180 degrees, and start the process over again.
Hmm.
So it would pick up avocado, turn 90 degrees, put it on the cutting station, pick it up because it's now 2. Turn 90 degrees, drop it off, and serve. Mm-hmm. And then do a 180 to get back to the avocado station, and then do that. And then mm-hmm. once you set him in motion, he just keeps going like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you get to these stations where you've got to make sushi and present it and all this other stuff. And you got to cut the fish. You got to boil the rice. You got to do all that stuff. And you have these robots going, I mean, they're doing everything you program them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're zipping past each other, just missing because they're on their program.
Is it like a grid or something that they follow?
I mean,
like
they
that?
Are, they, it is grid style. Yes.
Okay.
It is all grid right. style. So yeah, anyway, See, right there, he's right there. I think he's making shrimp, and so he's got to take the shrimp, cut the shrimp, salt the shrimp, serve the shrimp. I guess I don't know what the asterisk is, but anyway, and you got to program the robot to do all that stuff.
I'd say, where's the cooking part?
Yeah, I know. Neon Noodles is the name of the is the name of the game. So, nice little tangent we went off there. RJ wanted to know. Have you gotten to the point where your kid has turned to you and said, "Dad, can you get me past this part?"
Yes, and nearly every time he does it, I say, "That's not my job." you know, I do it intentionally. It's not my job. It's not my job to get you past the certain part of the game. Your job is to be resilient.
I love it.
This is to keep working through the problem.
Yeah. Did you tell him nobody was there for me to get me past that part when I played it?
There really wasn't.
And there wasn't. I know there wasn't. Yeah. There wasn't.
There really wasn't when I was growing up. My parents didn't play video games. Yeah. My, I think the first picture of me playing a video game, I think I was 2 years old, playing an Atari 2600.
Not only that, they missed the generation of the Game Genie that could get us through those problems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's a teaching, you know, it's funny, as a parent, it's a teaching moment, right?
Yeah.
You take that second where he's like, I can't get past this part, Dad. And, you know, I view it as my job to encourage him that, hey, you can do this thing, but then say, you know, you can do it, but you need to work through it. And if it means that you have to do it, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 times until you get it, it's going to be a struggle. And then watching them when they finally do it and how excited they are is totally worth stepping back. And I give them tips.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give him a tip, but I won't do it for him. I just don't believe in that.
It's perseverance, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Perseverance. And need to learn it.
It's a simple lesson in a video game.
Yeah.
Fubel's right, though. They have the internet now. So whenever I can't figure something out, I can just go to YouTube now.
Yeah.
But like, how do you get through this? Or if it's a puzzle I can't solve, I'll rarely do that. If it's a puzzle I can't solve, I will rarely look it up. I will have to give myself so much. I do it with Sudoku puzzles that I play in the newspaper. Yeah. I have two of them.
Jumbles in my case.
Yeah, I got two of them downstairs that I just keep in the main room that I sit in all day. I have two puzzles there that I keep just kind of working on whenever I got some free time, just to try and figure it out. I could easily go to a solution site, type in the numbers that I have, and it'll just boop, there you go.
Yeah.
But I don't do that. I like to continue to try and figure it out on my own.
Yep.
But yeah, we do have the internet now. They have the internet now, I guess, but they also have their dad who can just do it right there for them, but won't.
And I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm teaching them to basically look for somebody else for an answer.
Let me ask you a question. Do the game, this is not what I intended on us having a conversation on, but I'm not ever having kids, so I'll have to just ask you. Is it a... the parts they get stuck on, are they the same parts that you got stuck on?
Not always. Occasionally that's the case, but not always. It's usually the hand-eye coordination that's the trouble. Like, he's not fit, you know, like my son who plays a lot. Now he's, you know, he doesn't have any problems with most of the games he plays, but it's usually hand-eye coordination, trying to figure out how do I push this button and this other button at the same time to make sure that Mario runs and jumps over this massive chasm, and trying to, you know, and then puzzling things out in oh, hey, I got to do this thing in this game to make this to go through. And, you know, it's fun to watch. And honestly, actually, he's a budding Mario Maker genius.
Ooh,
as
boy.
Far as I'm concerned. But he's really having a good time making Mario Maker levels. And when they came out with the World Builder, he literally could not sleep the night before because he wanted to play it so badly.
He wanted
to build world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's fun to see. He's 7 years old, and he is a miniature version of me. So I apologize to anybody that gets to know him over time. But he's really getting into things, and we've played, you know, it's funny, as a dad, you always talk about what kind of games you're going to let your kids play. I would be lying if I said I didn't let them play Halo 1 with me.
Yeah, well, of course. And were you seven? You said 7 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, well, Bungie's okay with that. Their favorite number is seven, so you're fine.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. It's really, Dad's playing it with you. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about how this isn't real, and these are aliens, and obviously aliens are not around. And
you
and
should turn just, on the. You know. You should. I don't know if you could do that in Halo 1, but I know you could do it in Halo 3. I think Grunt birthday party.
Oh, it's in Halo 1, and he laughs every single time. It
Fantastic,
happens.
Wonderful. That's the one where This is the one where if you get a headshot on the grunts, mm-hmm. their head pops with confetti, and you hear a crowd cheer and go yay. Like a little, and it's called the birthday party. Yeah,
okay.
Pop, yay! So you know that'll desensitize him.
He's and like I said, we do it together. It's a father son thing, and I don't let him play games like that without me, and because I can discuss things with him. Now, you know, his dad has a foul mouth,
right.
And there have been times where he was sitting at the table, would die in a game on.
And by the way, we have FCC controlled radio, so.
No, I'm not going to say the word. He muttered the word, and I couldn't help but just like literally crack up. I'm sitting down the hall in my office working, and I couldn't help but crack up, and then realize I can't be laughing about this because I need to have a chat with my son about using proper language.
Yeah.
But yeah, those moments happen, and yeah, absolutely wouldn't drop words on this channel, obviously. But
thank you.
Not trying to get you in trouble, Scott.
No, you won't. I mean, the delay is on. I was like, ooh, the delay looks like it's off.
That's a heck of a time to find out the delay is working.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, the standard procedure is to dump the call and dump the audio. So if that was the case. But yeah, so, man, it has been great to catch up with you again. I know that I think the last time I saw you was back at PAX in Seattle just this past year. You and Ryan, and probably not going to have that happen this year with anything. I know PAX has said that they are still going through with their thing with PAX West, but
yeah, we talked about what.
I think the only reason they're doing
they're
that is because
off for a certain reason.
Yeah, I think they're holding off only for insurance purposes. I think they're waiting for the city to tell them you can't do this, so that then they can claim the insurance rather than cancel before then. So
honestly, for me, you know, I'm hoping things kind of break loose next year and I can start traveling for stuff like that again. I enjoy it. And, you know, I'm getting to that point where, again, you know, being a dad, my son might want to come to something like that and go play video games all day.
Well, I mean, cool you're up in Wisconsin, so you're missing out on some baseball right now. Of course, so is Steve over in Boston. Missing out on baseball, and you got football threatening as well.
Oh, yeah, and I have season tickets for football, so it's even more agonizing.
Mm. Well, didn't they just release their schedule the other day? The
they
NFL
did, and mm-hmm. and honestly, that you know they're already going. It's funny because you have that question of, do I go to the games even if they're holding them and Lambeau Field is open? And you know I'm questioning it myself. It's a tough choice.
Green Bay is interesting in the fact that the city of Green Bay owns the team. Mm-hmm. It's not an owner or a corporation or anything like that. It's the entire city that owns the team. So,
the fans. Jerry Jones has a share of them.
He does, yeah. But making that decision, who does that fall on? Normally, you would go to the owner of the team or the conglomerate of the owners of the teams and say that, okay, are we going to the NFL and the city have said we can do this. Now, how are we going to do this? And I'm wondering, given what Green Bay's got, I would think they would just fall in line with everybody else if that's the case. But
I would be shocked if they end up having games with people at the stadium. I really do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, man, it's great to hear from you again. Lovely to hear from. What about you though? I know your kids are playing. What about you? Have you played anything recently?
Lots of Division II. Okay. It's funny when the coronavirus stuff started. Anything that was too stressful, I kind of shied away from. To be honest with you, I was like Tetris 99 is one of my jams, and I would just stop playing it because I'm like, I don't need added stress. I'm now dad. I'm now husband. I'm now worker. Now I'm teacher too. So like all this stress was piling up at the time. I'm like, I'm gonna back off from games that stress me out.
There's always Animal Crossing. Have you jumped into Animal Crossing?
tons of Animal Crossing. My kids love it. My daughter thinks it's hysterical. A lot of Division II. I have a group of guys that we get together and we play games on Wednesday nights, and we just started World War Z, which is a surprisingly good successor if you're a Left 4 Dead fan. I was shocked at how much I'm enjoying it. And it was free on Epic a while back. So
yeah.
I was like,
I picked it up.
What am I going to lose by paying it?
I didn't play it, but I picked it up.
We're big fans of the zombie sniper games, the Strange Brigade. So we've been going through some different four-player games by far, and we play those for 3 hours every Wednesday night. So a lot of that stuff's what I've been playing.
I remember the COD guys used to do tons of Team Fortress Thursdays.
Tuesdays.
Or is it Tuesdays? Team Fortress Tuesdays, yeah.
Tuesdays.
They used to do a ton of that. It was always, they were doing that. You guys do any of that anymore?
Not really. I know there's a few of us that still get together from time to time to play Left 4 Dead 2. I know Jeremy, Ghost Bear, jumped into the party today with some guys, and we hadn't seen him in a long time. So there's still some of that, but a lot of people are just so spread apart, and we're all old now. We all have kids and houses,
I know, right?
And responsibility.
God, I haven't talked to Jeremy. I haven't talked to Drew or Jeremy or God, I barely talked to. I think I talked to Nick recently with him and Mike and a couple of guys from their Co-Optimus clan jumped over and played with us on Destiny, and we got them over into our clan. And so it was good talking to them again and playing with them. But yeah. A lot of the old guard. I just haven't talked to them in a while, man. So it's good hearing from
you.
We're
all old now.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're really old guard now. So it's like hearing from you and Steve and everybody else and Brock. It's good to connect again. So anyway, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. Stay safe. And
we'll do you too.
Keep denying your kids help.
I fully intend on doing so, sir.
All right, dude. Take care.
Take care now.
Have a good one, gentlemen.
Bye-bye. That was a wonderful trip down some memory lanes there.
Reminiscing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna take another commercial break. When we come back, I do want to hit the news because Xbox did some stuff, man, and I want to talk about it. Some of the things that they talked about as well. There's plenty to go over, so we'll do like a quick little run through of the news and hit on some of the big points coming up next. Music here from the original arcade version. It's not even worth telling you what it's from, because you're going to know when I hit it. So anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. To in-game chat, music here from a game called Spirits of the North. I think I played music from this way back when it originally released. And I say way back, I think it was only a few weeks ago. And I think what I actually played for that was not something from the game. I think it was something somebody created for the game. They were passionate about the game, and they created a piece for it. This actually is from the game itself. You play a fox. About all I know. It's a good little piece of music there. Getting back into the news here, we're going to do some quickfire stuff because we've just, it's just been a episode of reminiscing and catching up with friends. EA has said that they're going to go ahead with their E3 adjacent event this year as a completely digital showcase, the EA Play thing that they do. And it's going to take place on June 11th, starts at 7 o'clock. There is no schedule for it yet, but they say the live stream will include world premieres and other news as well. I think you got a good look of how that's going to play out with what the Inside Xbox thing did this past week. And we're going to talk to that. We're going to talk about that when we get to it here in just a second. Speaking of going online only, EVO, the fighting game tournament, was something that was canceled. Supposed to take place at Mandalay Bay on the 31st through the 2nd, July to August. Mm-hmm. But they had to cancel that. They are refunding all purchase tickets, but to keep the EVO spirit alive, they announced on Friday, we're bringing the event online this summer. More information coming soon. Not sure how that's all going to work, but that'll be fine.
There's a lot of logistics you think about when it says online only. Because EVO is an international type thing, so how are they going to?
Well, more than likely, I would imagine whatever they're going to do will just be in the spirit of competition, mm-hmm. not for. What am I trying to say? Like they won't be ranked. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. not going to be official sanctioned, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. It'll just be spirit of competition.
Yeah,
you know. And they can put together dream matches so that you don't have to do brackets. You can just put these two together. They get to do that, and of course, I can't imagine it won't be done for a charity of some sort, mm-hmm. where it's just like, here, we're doing this, donate. It'll be a donation drive type of charity event. Mm-hmm. I can easily see that happening because, especially for the amount of people that EVO draws, just to the event itself, mm-hmm. where they could say, here. It will be free. You can watch it. Anybody can watch it if they want to, but you can make donations, you know, mm-hmm. and it'll be a donation drive is what I suspect will come from that. I'm sort of thinking that a lot of things like that over the summer now will become free to the public, but, you know, a donation drive of some sort for folks. So, we talked about this last week, and I was scrolling through Reddit on the on my phone here, and I went to the popular section of Reddit, where it just shows whatever's, you know, getting a lot of traction. And there was a post in the in the Doom subreddit, and it was a very long post. And I looked at this, and I was like, "Oh, this is somebody from id Entertainment." You know, this is somebody from the developing house posting this whole thing. And it went through. We talked about it. We talked about the composer having some issues with what was going on with his mix for Doom Eternal.
Mick Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah, Mick Gordon, yeah.
Mick Gordon is his name, yeah. And so there is a long statement that was posted to the Doom subreddit. And I'm going to copy that link and post it. Well, like he said he was going to copy it. There we go. Copy link address. And I'll throw it in there. I mean, it's a long, it's an open letter, and it's a long thing. Some have suggested that we've been careless with or disrespectful of the game music. Others have speculated that Mick wasn't given the time or creative freedom to deliver something different or better. The fact is, none of that is true. What has become unacceptable to me are the direct and personal attacks on our lead audio designer, as well as the damage his mischaracterization is doing to the many talented people who have contributed to the game and continue to support it. He did admit that the two parties had struggled to connect on some of the more production-related realities of development and that communication around those issues had eroded trust for the company that has created an unsustainable pattern of project uncertainty and risk. The remainder of his post includes a detailed breakdown of events leading up to the release of the Doom Eternal soundtrack, covering everything from their original agreement with Gordon, who was contracted to deliver a minimum of 12 tracks, to the fact that the developer granted a six-week deadline extension at the composer's request. This is a long article, and let me post the article with this as well. It comes from Eurogamer. I want to put that there as well so that you can maybe, by posting what I was posting from the subreddit, you're only getting one side of that. Maybe with this article you can see the two different sides of that and to see where it kind of falls, at least for you. But reading that, and if that account is true, coming from id, they did have some, there were some issues with Gordon and trying to get those tracks out. I don't necessarily know that he was dragging his feet by it. I don't know. It comes across that way, that he was not meeting his deadline. He did get the six-week extension. Mm-hmm. They were running out of time, and they had to do something. Mm-hmm. They could not, for whatever reason, they could not extend the release date of the game. They couldn't say, let's push the release back. Mm-hmm. But it's all there for you to check out. Nintendo has had a pretty good couple of weeks here. Animal Crossing's New Horizons was Nintendo's best start ever for a Nintendo Switch game. Nintendo sold 13.41 million copies of Animal Crossing worldwide in its first 6 weeks of release. The vast majority of those sales come in the first 11 days, 11.77 million. From the March 20th debut through March 31st. It is ranked 7th of Nintendo's list of top-selling Switch games, although that list only tallies sales through the end of the company's latest fiscal year on the 31st, so it just uses that 11 million figure. For comparison, Nintendo has sold 17.37 million copies of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield since November 15th of last year. At that time, Nintendo said those were the fastest-selling Switch games of all time. So, no, it's been... Animal Crossing has done well. I still don't have the game. I do intend on picking it up. But I don't have it. Then came Tuesday? Or was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday. Wednesday came, and we got... Inside Xbox from Microsoft.
Okay.
This 45-minute or so presentation of new games that would be launching on the Xbox Series X. I say launching. A lot of them will be for both systems, and if you buy it on one, you get the other type thing. Mm-hmm. But there was a good bit shown, and the best part of this was, it was all new IP, and I love that. I love new stuff, you know? I love stuff that, not just stuff I have never seen before. You can give me something like a Red Dead Redemption 2, and I can see stuff I've never seen before, you know? Mm-hmm. You can give me stuff like a Halo 2 or whatever. You can give me sequels of other things, and I'll say, wow, I've never seen that before. But what I'm talking about is just brand new original material. I think we get that a lot in the video game industry. I think we do get a lot of original material. We just don't get it highlighted for us. Especially if you look in the indie part of things. When I go to the indie mega booth at PAX, it is nothing but original IP everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just brand new stuff you've never played before. Now, it might be brand new stuff, but it may be based on an old mechanic, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of different ones that can come to mind, but I can't, because they all, a lot of them do fall into the category of, yes, you've seen it before, but never with these characters or never in this way or something like that. And, you know, you're looking at like a four-person brawler type thing. Oh, this is Smash Brothers, but there's just a little bit of a tweak here and there, you know. Mm-hmm. Just take a formula, tweak it just a bit, put a new skin on it.
New IP with an old, based on an old idea.
Yeah, stuff like that. But this... And the first one they kicked off was Bright Memory Infinite, which, you know, was a shooter type thing, but it was also like, wait a second, is this taking place Where is this taking place? Because it felt like it was taking place in modern times, but then you had samurai guys with swords, and it was very, I was like, wait, what?
Roman centurions, and then guys with guns, things like that. And then you had that tether thing, which reminded me of Bulletstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little laser tether or whatever that allowed your character to traverse gaps and things like that. Catch this and sling yourself over to the side, things like that. So first-person shooter with a little twist here and there on that.
And we got Dirt 5. That's not a new IP.
Auto racing, yeah, fine.
Scorn is a game that's been in development since 2014, and there are videos of Scorn gameplay all over YouTube, but for whatever reason, this was the first time I'd seen anything about it. I say that, and somebody could say, no, here, remember this video from earlier? I would say, oh, okay, yeah, not the first time. But obviously, as they're going through this reveal of Scorn, all I can think about is, like, this is Geiger, man. This is nothing but Geiger. That's, that is an innuendo thing. That's an innuendo thing. That's an innuendo thing. All of it was completely, I was like, this is, all right, fine. This is nothing but Geiger stuff. This is very, very Geiger Alien-esque. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like they are wanting to make that connection except for in the artwork, in the setting. So I'm curious how that all plays out. But very, just like Steve said, very Xenomorph. But yet at the same time, never a single reference to it. Never anything that was explicitly like, there's the alien, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's the Xenomorph. But plenty of things that said, this is where you are, you know? Mm-hmm. Just never got around to that. Call of the Sea looked interesting. It's apparently a 1930s puzzle game about a woman searching for her lost husband. What else do we have? Chorus was creepy and sci-fi. It's coming in 2021. Second Extinction is a co-op game about fighting dinosaurs. Somebody said a tribe's vibe. I was getting a Turok vibe from watching that.
Yeah.
The Ascent.
The Dinosaur Hunter, yeah.
Ascent is a cyberpunk RPG that is not Cyberpunk 2077. It's also got co-op with it. The Medium was brand new, an upcoming horror game from the Blooper team. They're the people that did Observer and Blair Witch. That looks fantastic. By the way, most of this you did not see gameplay for. You only saw cinematics. Scorn is one that there seemed to be gameplay out there, but they just showed a non-gameplay trailer for it. Bright Memory Infinite was, that looked like gameplay. I think we saw some gameplay of Call of the Sea. Medium looked completely theatrical trailer type stuff. Mm-hmm. Madden NFL will be free on Xbox Series X if you already bought it on Xbox. And this is Madden NFL. This is great. man, when I saw the beginning of Bloodlines 2 trailer, I thought this was a peek at Batman just because of the way the faces were all distorted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the trailer for it.
No, not yet.
It's like a Christmas setting and a family's around the tree, but they're all dead. And they're strung up like puppets. But their faces have these gigantic smiles. And their eyes are open wide, and their faces have these gigantic smiles.
You got that Joker.
I mean, it gave a whole Joker vibe to it. Completely. Completely Joker vibe. And I'm like, Batman? Nope. Bloodlines. Which, I was not disappointed in that. I was like, oh, Bloodlines. Yeah, okay. I'd rather have Batman because, I mean, that's always going to be my answer.
Yeah.
But okay. Mm-hmm. So, Bloodlines. Scarlet Nexus, a game from Bandai Namco, anime type thing. Did you take a look at that Yakuza?
No, I didn't, but I'm looking at this vampire thing you got here. Yes, that's definite Batman.
Yeah, right? You get a little Batman vibe from it. By the way, I love that trailer. I love the music they put to it. Everything about that trailer I enjoy. I love a good trailer that can take a song and just make it work for them, and they sure did that.
Well, I heard about Yakuza Like a Dragon. It wasn't like the traditional format. I heard about that.
Well, see, I've never played a Yakuza game. I only know it from you, and so I can't look at what they showed and say, well, that doesn't look like a Yakuza. I have no idea.
Like I said, I've only heard it, but I haven't looked at it.
So, yeah, I would like to get your opinion of that. You do not have to watch that now. We can get your opinion next week on it. Yeah, I would like to. Oh, it says it's already out in Japan on PS4. Hmm. Interesting. And then we got, what did we get? Smart delivery means that when you buy a game on Xbox One that's also on Xbox Series X, you'll automatically get access to the next-gen version when you eventually get the new console. Games from the inside Xbox that will support it are Call of the Sea, Chorus, Scarlet Nexus, Second Extinction, Ascent, Vampire Bloodlines 2, Yakuza, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which again was something they showed off to cap it off. Let me talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla for the few moments we've got left in this episode. When the trailer was released for that, I want to say the week before, it said that a gameplay reveal would come with the inside Xbox thing. And everybody was excited. Ooh, we're getting gameplay with the new Xbox, inside Xbox, for the Xbox Series X. We're going to get gameplay. This is fantastic. And they kind of pushed that, saying you're going to get gameplay trailer. Here we go. We're going to get gameplay. We didn't. Well, we may have. We're not sure. But if we did, we got mere seconds worth. And if we did get mere seconds worth, it wasn't substantial enough to be considered a gameplay trailer. It really, really wasn't. Kotaku wrote up an article called Gameplay Trailers Should Have Gameplay in Them. During today's Inside Xbox presentation, Ubisoft showed off what they described as the first look at gameplay from Assassin's Creed. But for many watching, myself included, it wasn't really what we expected when I heard the term gameplay. The day before the event, Ubisoft was quick to point out that this wasn't going to be a long gameplay demo. That's fine. Understandable. They would want to save that for their own presentation, I would imagine, for whatever they decide to do for E3. Which I know E3 is canceled, but they're going to do their own little digital thing. After the official Twitter account for Assassin's Creed tweeted about a new gameplay trailer on May 6th, the creative director for Valhalla clarified fans shouldn't expect big gameplay demo or reveal, tweeting, "To be clear, this is an in-game first look teaser," and followed that up with, "Not a gameplay demo." We got what Ubisoft describes in their YouTube channel as a first look gameplay trailer with fine print on the video explaining that it's footage representative of expected Xbox Series X gameplay. What kind of is that? I just mouthed it for people who are watching on Twitch. What kind of fine print is that? Footage representative of expected Xbox Series X gameplay. Shut up. Shut up. That is so stupid.
Bunch of BS, right?
No. Well, it's the catch and release. It's the bait 'em, hook 'em, show 'em this, and then say, oh, well, we didn't actually say that's what it was going to be. It's going to be this. Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Go. There's things I want to say. I mean, I'm okay. I know I'm going to get gameplay of this later on, you know? I know they're going to show it off. We've been down this path before. They called them bullshots because they would be screenshots of games, and you're looking at that, and I'm like, that is not from the game itself. That is a CGI thing you produced, and that is not gameplay.
Is this similar to what happened with Mighty No. 9 back in the day?
Well, I think that's a different story, but yes, I would think so. Yeah. I'm specifically going back to maybe Watch Dogs. You remember the reveal of Watch Dogs at Ubisoft, by the way? Let's go back to them.
I really never got into Watch Dogs, but...
Well, you didn't have to. It was an E3 thing.
Okay.
So we're watching Ubisoft's E3 presentation, and they dim the lights at the end of their whole thing.
Right.
And then you see this dude walking the streets in the rain, and it's like, holy crap, that was good. I was sitting next to some folks from Naughty Dog watching that, and they were impressed as all hell is what they were seeing.
Okay.
Whenever we were doing that. And, I mean, I was watching the dude text... a friend was like, "Have you seen this? What are they doing?" I mean, it was all this technical term that was coming out of their thumbs. But So we get that, and then Watch Dogs goes away for a while, finally comes back, and it is nothing like what we saw. Mm-hmm. It has been downgraded, it has been changed, it is basically what happens is it's the reverse of what they did with the Sonic movie. They went from making it is like, here's what it's going to look like, and then they gave us the first iteration of that nightmare. Mm. So
burn the theater down.
But it's Ubisoft, man, and they are constantly doing this. I know that I'm going to get gameplay. I know I'm going to see all this stuff. I know it's coming.
But you never heard of putting it in like a statement like that before.
This
is a representative of what we hope this will look like when it's all said and done.
This is such a marketing team. Get with our lawyers. What can we write that can get us out of this real quick? Well, we can say that this is just a representation of what we think is expected from Xbox Series X gameplay. Okay, that's good. Run with that. Just like, that's fine. To either get them off the hook or whatever. Not that they're on any hook. Who cares? You're going to show it to us eventually, mm-hmm. you know? This is the rant part of the episode, I guess, where I get all...
What if they just said representative of actual gameplay?
Is that not
legal BS enough?
Many fans were upset by the lack of more traditional gameplay and with how little we actually saw. As of this writing, the Valhalla first look gameplay trailer is at 20,000 dislikes, which is over twice the number of likes. Some of the responses stem from questions of what exactly we should expect when we hear a promise of a gameplay trailer. There's a lot of people upset about this. However, there is the Assassin's Creed Origins world premiere gameplay trailer from 2017 notes that it contains actual in-game footage captured in 4K. What's shown is similar to what we saw from today's gameplay teaser with some action shots and gorgeous landscapes and ruins. Then you have a video like the Assassin's Creed 2 trailer from 2012. Called Gameplay Premiere Trailer and noting it contains pre-alpha game footage. It includes footage of the player character in action with no HUD or other game elements. For Black Flag a few years later, they released a gameplay reveal trailer that featured a similar mix of player creator menus, HUD, and in-game cutscenes. Basically, it seems Ubisoft doesn't have a specific definition of what is and isn't gameplay, and this has led to a confusing situation we find ourselves in now. Yeah. In fact, Microsoft went back and made apologies for pushing that narrative, for pushing this, like, hey, you're going to have gameplay. The creative director has said the gameplay trailer was a letdown. Hello, all. You rightfully expected to see more today. We have a long marketing campaign ahead of us. You will see in-depth gameplay and get a lot more of info about the game. Thank you for your excitement and passion. Be patient with us and be kind. It will be worth it. Look, it ain't on you. Ishmael. Is that really right? Call me Ishmael. I have to. Call me Ishmael. It's not on him. I met that guy, actually. It's not on you. That was marketing, man. I know you're trying to get out in front of it, but that's marketing, and that's not on you. And I don't put any kind of blame on you for that. If I should, tell me, but I don't. That's my rant. We got to be done, because we are done here. Thanks, everybody. We're up. Time's up. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Thanks for everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks for everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes, wherever you get our show. Kurt, thanks for calling in. Steve, thanks for calling in. Chris, as always, dude, you call in every week. Thank you. Thanks for everybody who's in the chat room with us. I appreciate all of you guys' support every time. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. We got the YouTube channel. We're on Steam. We're all over the place. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Music here from a game that you can get for free if you register your Rebellion account with your Steam account, Evil Genius. Sequel's due up pretty soon. Here's the main theme from that. Have a good one. Bye-bye.